he does so.
Now, we're good to go. Can you hear me now? Amen. Well, I'm excited to be back here. I've been looking forward to it ever since Brother Neil called me. The last time he was out, I was booked up somewhere else and didn't get to come. That was a bummer. But today is the day. Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And I am excited to be with you both services today. And Brother Neil inspired these messages because in our men's group that meets on Thursday mornings, we study through books. We just go through books of the Bible together. And we just started here recently, we just started the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is so rich and so good. And I just felt led to share a word with you this morning. We're going to be in Hebrews 1 this morning, and then tonight we're going to be in Hebrews 2. Because what I want to speak to you about, of course, Hebrews is all about the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. You know, God's not done with the nation of Israel. He's not done with the Jewish people. He still has a plan. There is a kingdom coming, amen? In Matthew chapter 6, when he gives them, quote, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, he's speaking to all of us, but he's speaking in specific to the Hebrew people, his chosen people. God's not done. He's coming back. And he's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of his will reign alongside of him. We get the blessed privilege of being princes and princesses of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. It's going to be a marvelous day when he does come. And he's setting some things straight, and he's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, who came 100% God, 100% man. And until he came, he spoke to men in dreams, he spoke to men in visions, he did this, he had prophets, he had priests, he had all these things. But finally, when the Christ came to this earth, the culmination of that day took place. The climax of human history, Jesus himself, God came and dwelt among us. When Mary, his mother, was holding that little baby in her arms, she was holding the very Son of God. She was looking into the face of God himself. He came to reveal himself to us. And we so flippantly and so casually today in the church go around as if the revelation of God to man is no big deal. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God revealing himself to us pathetic sinners is a big deal. Amen. It's a huge deal. We ought to hunger and thirst for that living relationship, that drink of living water every day. I'm so glad the well never goes dry. Amen. I'm so glad that he loved us. So we're going to talk about the revelation of God this morning and him speaking to us. And my question to all of us is, are you listening? Are we listening? Because there's a lot of confusion today out there. People are more confused now than ever, but I don't get it. We have more information available to us today, but people are more confused than ever. Why is that? We're listening to the wrong voices. There's too much racket out there. Get off your Facebook account for a few days. Get off your Twitter. That includes the president. Amen? Get off of it. Leave it alone for a little while, because you know what? all you're hearing is someone else's opinion. And opinions of man have no value. I want to know the author of this book right here. I know one famous author. But even better than that, I know the author. The author of life. The one who gives us everything. Are we listening to him? Let's read the Word of God together. Hebrews chapter 1. We're just going to read the first 4 verses. The Bible says this. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the world. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of himself, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He was made so much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Let's pray together. Lord God, I do. I stand here before you this morning as just a broken man, a dying man, speaking to dying people. And Lord God, so often we come and gather at our houses of worship among the children of God, and we bring all of our baggage with us. We bring all of the stresses and our burdens, and we forget so often to, before we ever come together corporately, to just get alone by ourselves and just be with you. And to hear from you and to stop listening to all the prognosticators in the news media and all the doom and gloom prophets. Lord God, we understand all we have to do is look around us and know that it's dark. But Lord, I believe this, I know this in my spirit, down in the very depths of my soul, that it's always darkest before the dawn. There is coming a day soon when you're going to physically return to this earth and take back what is rightfully yours. Lord, help us to be children of the kingdom. Help us to not live as spiritual paupers, but God, we're not beggars. We are the children of God. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills they stand on. So God, help us not to wallow with this world, but help us, Lord God, to exalt and lift up the name of Jesus each and every day of our lives. Thank you so much for this occasion. Give us ears to hear what you want to say, Lord, and may you move among us freely, Holy Spirit, as we cast aside all the distractions of the enemy and focus on you. Thank you for this word today. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are we listening? You know, this book of Hebrews starts out so beautifully, and it's impossible to capture the beauty of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 in the English language, because the English language doesn't do it justice. The Greek language in which this was written, it's beautiful. I mean, it just comes out and it flows, and it's so beautiful. And I don't speak Greek. I don't know Greek, but I do have a concordance. I did graduate from Gilbert High School, praise the Lord. I did have a little bit of education. And it's so beautiful, and it was written in such a way to just immediately grasp the reader's mind and heart. And when he makes that statement, God, little small 3-letter word, but he's making a huge statement. What he's saying is, God. And then he goes on to tell us God spoke. And God says he spoke long ago. In other words, what God is doing, he's making a proclamation. And do you know what a proclamation is? It is an official statement. It could be a government leader, it could be a president, it could be a king, it could be someone in authority, it can be a law enforcement officer. But when someone in authority speaks, what do? We lend ear. When a police officer pulls you over and he says, I'd like to see your driver's license, we don't go into a tirade about how bad the law is. And now all they do is give us tickets. We get our driver's license out. We say, there you go, sir. Hopefully, you will have grace and mercy and not give me a ticket. But you're in charge. I'm listening to what you say. Whatever you require of me, I'm going to give it to you. I've got proof of my insurance here somewhere. I know. You're frantically looking for it. You're going to give him what he wants. God is speaking to us, and he's saying, I want you to hear what I have to say. And God is speaking continuously, because it says that word various. In the old King James Bible, it says at sundry times. Now, that's a word we don't use anymore. But I looked that word up, and it doesn't just mean at different times. It does mean that. Various means occasionally, along, but it means piecemeal. You know, so often I always thought, but boy, when I was a young Christian, I thought I'd read these accounts of Abraham and Noah and Moses and all these guys where God spoke to them face to face. And I was like, what's missing with me? I'd love to live back then. You know what? Those guys didn't have a Bible. Those guys didn't have the Holy Ghost living in them. Those guys were missing out. We're the ones that are supposed to be living it up. God has come down and dwelt among men. And when Jesus departed, he gave us a promise. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not going to have to just depend on an occasional dream or vision here or some priest to come to you and share my word with you. I will live in you through my very breath. My spirit will dwell among you. Man, we've got something good. God has been speaking continuously all throughout history. In fact, before history. Go back as far as you want to go back in the past, and there's God. And God has always been speaking. God's always been speaking to His created world, wherever and whenever it is. But thank God He speaks personally. Amen? He did come to a man named Abram. An old pagan man. His fathers were idolaters. They were worshiping pagan idols. He comes to that man and he says, I'm going to make you the father of nations. I'm going to speak to you as a man speaks to his friend. I'm going to know you personally. He made a covenant with him. He made everything possible for us to have a relationship with him. What about Moses? All that wandering around, all that he murdered somebody, got out of God's will, went off to school out there, seminary on the backside of the desert, being a shepherd. And then God comes to him in that burning bush, and God's in that burning bush, and Moses turns aside from everything and focuses, and he hears the very voice of God. God's been speaking continuously, but praise God, he speaks personally. I remember the day that he called me. I was at a little country church, Holly Grove Baptist Church, outside of Wisner, Louisiana. Didn't know come here from Sikkim. But I knew that day I needed a Savior desperately. I heard the Holy Spirit of God tell me, Jeff, I'm not passing your way anymore if you don't come today, because he'd already been dealing with me. And you know what I did? Instead of puffing up my chest and getting prideful, I said, yes, Lord, I'll have that. I'll take that relationship with you, and I've never been the same since. God doesn't just speak to certain individuals. You know, that's what we have in the church today. We have professional Christians. A lot of them are on TV. Isn't that what we pay the preacher for? To tell us what we need to know, what God says? No. God can tell me and you exactly what he says because we have a copy of it in our hands. And we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit's a better teacher than any seminary professor that's ever lived on the face of this planet. I don't understand us Baptists. We're in this Calvinism debate and all this other stuff. John Calvin didn't shed his blood for me. John Wesley didn't die for me. Billy Graham didn't die for me. As much as I respect and love Billy Graham, Jesus Christ died for me. I don't follow John Calvin. I don't follow John Wesley. I follow Jesus. And I don't want to get into a debate about it. If you don't like that, well, just build a bridge and get over it. Amen? He speaks to me. And he speaks to you. And praise God, he speaks eternally. It says he spoke at various times in diverse ways. He spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets, but he has spoken to us by his Son. And you know what? When Jesus gives you eternal life, it's not temporary, right? It is eternal. And therefore, he speaks to us eternally. Even in our death, he's speaking. At all times and in everything. You know what? We all want to, most of us are more focused on staying down here than we are about being with him. And if we would ever get it into our spirit, and I don't want to be morbid here. I don't want to leave my wife and grandchildren any earlier than is necessary by God. But you know what? The day I die, I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been. Amen. I'll have more life in me that day than I've ever had down here on this miserable planet that we want to make paradise. But you know what? It will never be until he comes back. He's speaking continuously, personally, eternally. And the best way that he made that proclamation is in Jesus. He proclaims the message louder through Jesus than he does anything else. Not even this written word of God can replace the living word of God. Amen. You can't separate the two. They just go hand in hand. Thank God for the living word. Thank God for the written word. It just affirms what the living word said. You know, when Jesus taught, he used scripture and he didn't have to because whatever he said was the word of God, right? But he quoted scripture. You know why? One of the reasons why I believe he quoted scripture? Because he wanted you and I to know that the written word is just as valid as the living word. And men take their pen knives to it and they make their commentaries on it and they do all this stuff. And don't get me wrong, I have study Bibles. I have commentaries by men I love and respect and all those things. But you know what? Again, they're just men. God speaking. He speaks personally through Jesus. And he speaks with resurrection power. Look at what he says. He has spoken by his Son, whom he has appointed heirs of all things, through whom he made the world. He's the brightness of his glory, the express image of himself, and upholds all things by the word of his power. How did he gain that authority and that power? By his resurrection from the dead. He lives forever. Praise God for the resurrection. You can go to Israel today. They'll show you the place where they think they laid him. He ain't there. Hallelujah. He's not there. He speaks to us by his resurrection power. And another thing that excites me, the Bible says he is heir of all things. That means everything is accountable to him. Everything is in subjection. Even though right now it seems like God's not in control, God's in control. And one of these days he's going to come back and set up his throne. And he's going to judge each and every one of us. There's going to be two judgments. There's going to be a judgment for the lost before they are cast into a fiery hell that burns forever and ever. But we, even as believers, not for our salvation, but we are going to stand and give an account of what we've done with what God has given us here on this earth. And you know what? These people that flippantly talk about the judgment of God, well, I'm saved by grace, and then go out there and live a life that doesn't honor and glorify God, I think one of these days when Daddy comes home, they're going to really wish they had paid a little closer attention. They're going to really wish they had walked a little closer. They're going to really desire to be spirit-filled and to go back and relive their lives, but it's going to be too late. They're going to pass through the fire, but they're going to smell like smoke because everything they did is going to burn up in the judgment flames of God. You know, when the Lord talks about that judgment and that reckoning and that he's going to toss us with his winnowing fork, he's not talking, that's not a reference to the lost world. That's a reference to you and I. As believers, you know what he's saying? The fruit is always the heaviest and always falls to the earth. The chaff blows away in the wind, and that's what they did in the old days before combines. Thank God for combines. They would take it and toss it, and all the grain would fall first, and the chaff would blow away in the wind. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's going to take us and toss us, and all the fruit's going to fall and be gathered into his barn, but the chaff's going to be burned up. There's going to be a lot of smoky bear Christians, I'm afraid, out there one day. They're going to smell just like old smoky bear. Because, yeah, they're saved, but, boy, it's hard to tell. I don't want anybody to have to look at me and wonder if I'm a believer or not. He's heir of all things. He owns us. I'm bought and paid for. Amen? In America, we love our independence, and I'm a proud American. But you know what? I was bought with a price, and I belong to him. He's heir of all things. That word heir just simply means possessor. It's his. It's his to do as he will. But he also speaks as creator. Thank God. It says, through whom he made the world. You know, we take that for granted nowadays. You know what they're teaching our kids in school? That we're all here by random chance. Selection. That something happened. A pool of slime exploded somewhere. There was an atom in it. It became a tadpole and all. No. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not very bright, but I'm bright enough to understand that. I know there is a creator. When I look at this building, I didn't think, boy, I wonder how long it took that building to evolve into a church. I said, somebody built it. When I look at a beautiful painting, I don't say, boy, I wonder how long it took for all that paint and that color to come together. Who painted that? And when I look at this world, and when I look in the mirror, and when I look in the face of my beautiful wife, I don't say, I wonder how long it took us to evolve. I know I'm created in the image of God. I'm his for all of eternity. He created me. And he's also, praise God, he's the culmination of all things. He came to this world, he left this world, but he's coming back to this world because he is everything. And everything's going to end in him. People ask me sometimes, preacher, what's the world coming to? I tell them this, the world's coming to Jesus. Hold on. Don't let go. I know there's a lot of confusion. There's violence. It's unbelievable how quickly we've turned and descended to the very pits of hell itself in this nation. But you know what? There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's a day soon coming when he's going to come back and rectify all these things. It's going to end with him. He's going to be seated on his throne, praise God, and we're going to be with him. for all of eternity. And he's also left us some precious promises. He's given us a perfect salvation, right? Because it tells us here in the end of verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know why he sat down? He was finished. Me and Ernie are at the barber shop some days, and it's like there's a room full of people for hours. And then you finally get that last one that leaves out of there, and you're like, that was rough. People don't think barbers work very hard. You try standing on your feet on that concrete in the same place for an hour on end. See how it works for you. You get tired. Your feet start hurting. Your back starts hurting. And when you get through, the only thing you want to do, you don't want to fool nothing else. You want to sit down a minute. And boy, sometimes it makes you mad when somebody, you just sat down and somebody walks in. Oh, God. I don't want to do that right now. But you know why Jesus sat down? He is finished. The work's been accomplished. Our salvation is secure. I don't get these people that think you can lose it. I just pray for them. I don't try to fight them. You know what? I'm so glad that I can't get rid of it. Whatever God gave me, he doesn't take back. And he said, even me myself, I can't rip myself out of his hand. I'm his. And you know what? I really believe this. There are some that do. They're believers in the Lord. They follow the Lord. But they believe that you can take yourself out of God's hand. I believe if that were true, every one of us would do it. I believe every one of us would go back to Egypt. But praise God, he doesn't let us go. I'm not holding on to him. He's holding on to me. I've got a Pentecostal brother, and I love him dearly, and he's great. He turned away from drugs and bad life. But he's always putting on Facebook, I'm holding on. Praise God, I don't have to hold on all the time. Sometimes I let go. Can I get a witness to that? Sometimes we just let go, but God never lets go. I like watching my son with my little granddaughter now. He gets to go through what we went through. And she's a busybody, never still. He's like, boy, I'll be glad when she gets to the stage when she can sit still for 2 minutes. I said, hold on, son. Just a little longer. But she's trying to climb the stairs and she's doing all this and they're holding on to her. You know what? If it was up to her, she's trying to pull away. She's already expressing her desire to be independent, but they know what's best for her, and they're holding on to her. That's the same way with us, man. We want God, let me alone and let me do what I want to do in my way, but God is saying, no, sir, that's not good for you, child, and I'm going to hold on to you whether you like it or not. Praise God. Praise God. For a perfect salvation, but praise God for an abundant life. He said, he sat down and he said he was made so much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. You know what the Bible tells me? In the name of Jesus, I have everything for abundant life. Not someday in heaven, but right here, right now where I am. That's a promise. We've got a blank check in the name of Jesus. And that's not a hocus pocus, be healed in the name of Jesus, be a millionaire in the name of Jesus, never have troubles in the name of Jesus, never have marital problems, never have this, never have that. But you know what it does say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Man, he also says in Ephesians that the church, we, the bride of Christ, everything that he has is seated in the heavenlies, and it's if we're already there. And it's all ours. How sweet a deal is that? And most Baptists sit around with them faces so long they suck marbles out of a gopher hole. Well, we got a good deal. We've got precious promises. And that last thing, we do have His name. Do you know how special that is? I've been thinking a lot about that lately with all the attack of the devil on the family. You know, the devil has done a wonderful job of destroying the family in America. He's wrecked marriages. He's confused us about who we are. Men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, all those things. And I'm so thankful that almost 31 years ago, that lady right there took my name. She was willing to associate herself with me, but along with her taking my name, you know what she expects in return? She expects for me to love her like Christ loves His church. She expects me to protect her spiritually and every other way. She expects me to provide for her and to be a covering for her and to be a husband that she can depend on when times are tough. And I want to give that to her because I love her. Jesus wants to give that to us. But in return, He says, you got to take my name. You can't live independently of me. You can't keep some parts of your life compartmentalized. You've got to just wholeheartedly come over here and say, I'm taking your name. I'm not even going to be called by my maiden name anymore. I'm yours. I'm not following a denomination. I'm not following a preacher or a priest. I'm following Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God. No backing up. There's not going to be a divorce. I'm His for all of eternity. How many professing Christians in America call out His name on Sundays and raise their hands and sing songs, and then on Monday, He's not Lord. Won't work. You know what Peter said when Jesus tried to show him that God was going to save everybody, Gentiles included, and He lowered the sheet with all those animals in it that were... It's not so, Lord. He said, rise, kill and eat, Peter. Peter said, not so, Lord. That statement crosses itself out. If you call Him Lord, you cannot say not so. If you say not so, He's not Lord. But it's non-negotiable. And many professing believers in America do it on a daily basis. And I'm begging you this morning, if you're one of those, today, spit out your pride and say, you know what? I'm not just a member of a church. I'm married to Jesus Christ. And I'm repenting of all that pride and all that arrogancy of thinking I can do it my way and thinking I can come by religion and thinking I can come through water baptism, praying, anything else. Only way to come is to bow the knee and say, yes, Lord. Not so, Lord. Yes, Lord. He's speaking. Are you and I listening? Let's stand. Father God, as we come to this time, I pray, God, that You will do a mighty work. I pray, Lord God, that You will encourage the believers, but Lord, that You will also challenge anyone that might not truly be born again this morning. That the only thing that they can do is come and say, yes, Lord. Have Your way in these few moments. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.